You've long wrestled with these feelings. You know that you're different from the mainstream, and you want to be free to be who you are, and you thought that's what the U.S. Constitution allowed, and yet every day you see people just like yourself getting persecuted. So the question you now face is a tough one. Should you come out? Should you announce to the world, a world of people who thought they knew you, that you are a Christian? Proclaiming Christ and what that means to a culture wrapped up in proclaiming its sexual identity. We'll be talking about that today on Licensed to Parent. Hello and welcome to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long Christ-centered residential program helping teens in crisis. I'm Rich Rosel, and our host on Licensed to Parent is the founder and director of Shepherd's Hill, Trace Embry. And Trace, you and I both know that the phrase coming out of the closet was a term that until recently referred to homosexuals who had freely announced to the world their sexual appetites and their lifestyles. But nowadays, I see the tables rapidly turning. I'm hoping that today's program might give parents of faith a way to stand strong in the face of a movement that's determined to turn God's ecosystem inside out.
Well, Rich, you know, the issue of homosexuality is such a hot button today.
Oh, yeah.
And the age-old argument has always been, you know, what people do in the privacy of their own bedrooms shouldn't matter, and it can't hurt anyone. But
right.
I have to disagree.
Well, I think that's part of what we're going to be talking about today is our disagreement valid?
Yeah.
And if our disagreement is valid, what do we do to combat the problems that we're seeing every day, including a recent ABC television thing, which we'll talk about in a moment? Our guest today is hopefully going to help us unpack all this. His name is Christopher Doyle. Christopher is a psychotherapist, an educator, an author. He's also the director of the International Healing Foundation, a nonprofit organization that since 1990 has helped thousands of individuals and families struggling with sexual orientation. Chris is the first ever recipient of the Dr. Joseph Nicolosi Award for Early Career Excellence. He's been recognized as one of the emerging therapists in the sexual orientation field by the National Association for Research and Therapy of Homosexuality. That was back in 2011. Christopher Doyle's work can be seen in a variety of professional journals and periodicals. He's also developed a number of studies dealing with bullying and the benefits of delaying sexual debut. As a former homosexual himself, Mr. Doyle has overcome sexual abuse in his own life, and he knows both personally and professionally what it takes to heal trauma. Christopher and his wife, Sherry, live and work in the Washington, D.C. area, and they have three children, Andrew, Ariana, and Aaron.
Well, Chris, welcome to the Licensed to Parent broadcast. It's a honor and a pleasure to have you here.
Well, thanks so much for having me here. And I should also mention that my wife, Sherry, and I are in the process of adopting two precious little babies from China, too. So our family is soon to expand to five. So
awesome.
It's been an incredible journey.
Now, this is of critical importance here. What you don't know is that Trace has five kids and I have five kids. And for about the first 6 months I was on this program, ironically, every guest we had five kids. So you have now
qualified.
You have now qualified. We're glad to have you on the program.
Stepping into a qualified, qualified guest here.
Yeah, you're vetted.
You're on probation for a moment, but now you're official.
Oh, boy. Chris, recently the ABC Family Channel, of all things, just portrayed two 13-year-olds engaging in a same-sex kiss. And, you know, I'd kind of like to get your take on that. I personally want to ask, you know, where's the child abuse police over that one? But some would consider this groundbreaking, and I would say that if you break the wrong ground, the gates of hell will just spring right out of it. Give me your take on that.
Well, my opinion, Trace, is that the gates of hell have already sprung before ABC Family showed that.
Mm-hmm.
And to tell you a little bit about my background, I struggled with unwanted same-sex attractions for 15 years in my adolescence. And what I found the solution to be was not my parents telling me that being gay was wrong, was not the Bible saying that homosexual behavior is against the Word of God. I knew all those things.
Mm-hmm.
What really healed my heart was forming loving relationships with men that I bonded with for the first time in my life, when I was able to understand that my issues were not just spiritual, but also emotional, that there was an emotional part of me that longed to be close to the same sex. When I did that and I bonded with those men and I dealt with those wounds that had created the same-sex attractions, I was free. And so the work that I do is, of course, whenever we're ministering to Christians, of course we say the Word of God is true. Of course we stand on the Word of God. But there's more to the story. God reveals himself in so much more. And so in our work, we work with families and individuals. And what we're really trying to help them understand is that this issue is one that's emotional. And so we're trying to figure out what it is that is missing in the emotional connection between people who experience same-sex attraction with the same sex, and that's where we start from the ground up.
And Chris, you make a good point right here, and that is that your healing did not come from a bunch of people parading women in front of you, let's say. Yours was instead developing healthy male relationships and relationships that would affirm the emotional need without delving into the sexual need.
Exactly. The common misnomer among the Christian community, and actually secular society as well, is that homosexuality, and by the way, I would also include heterosexuality, is a sexual issue. But in actuality, it's not. In fact, God doesn't create either of us, any of us, gay or straight. We're created in his likeness. We're created male or female. It says in Genesis, He created them male and female. And so we have to understand that sexuality and sexual orientation is not really about sex. It's about attachment, bonding, and intimacy. So when young boys, let's take that for example because I work mostly with men, when young boys don't sufficiently attach and bond with the same-sex parent and the same-sex peers, they grow up with an emotional longing, a hole in their soul, in their heart, for that need. And when they come to age 13, as we saw in ABC Family, all those needs become sexualized during puberty. And so now the young man is thinking, wow, I'm gay, but in actuality, that need for same-sex longing, that attraction, is actually an underlying need for connection and bonding and emotional intimacy with the same sex.
I agree. This is something that I've been trying to drive home to the parents of the kids that we deal with here at Shepherd's Hill who are struggling in this area. You had mentioned attachment. Are you familiar with reactive attachment disorder, where kids are failing to attach emotionally, spiritually to their biological parents? Something that really gives people in the mental health field fits.
I am.
Okay. I can't help but think that a lot of it has to do with the fact that somewhere, somehow, a babysitter, a friend, a family member, a neighbor, that there was some ongoing abuse, sexual abuse going on before that child was even cognitively aware, that got the wires crossed somewhere. And then when you add the cultural influences and all the other things that we're talking about here, I think that's when you've got a situation on your hands. I think of Melissa Etheridge, who's a known vocal lesbian, whose older sister had come out and said, you know, I was molesting you back in the day, and which gives evidence to my argument. The problem is, I can never prove that.
Right. And so, you know, you're absolutely right. We do see a significant proportion of our clients come into a homosexual orientation due to early sexualization. Sometimes it's also abuse and molestation. And there's also a significant proportion of young men and women who are actually arriving at those feelings, not necessarily because of sexual abuse, but because of a lack of emotional connection with the same sex and bonding. And so, we have to really understand that there are almost always multiple causes as to why someone might come to a homosexual orientation or develop homosexual feelings.
Right.
And so in our work, our work with individuals, we help at the very first session that I do. You know, we do an extended session as to why you might be feeling this way, because the popular culture says, hey, you're simply born gay. This is who you are.
Right.
And by the time they hit 12 or 13 years old, they've already been indoctrinated by the media to think that this is inborn.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to turn that cultural tide around by coming up with really good science to understand why people really feel this way and help them understand. A common thing that my clients tell me is like, you know, I've always felt attracted to the same sex ever since I can remember, therefore I think I'm born gay. And what I say is, I ask them this very, very important question. I said, do children want or need sex? And they always say, well, no.
Right.
And I said, well, of course they don't. Children don't want or need sex. But what you really, children really want is they have an emotional longing to be with other guys, if they're boys, mm-hmm. and other girls, if they're girls. So if that attachment and bonding is not there, it will seem like it's a sexual longing, but when you really look at it, it's really an emotional longing.
Sure.
And that's the work that we do with our families that we work with. We help families connect and bond emotionally
yeah.
because Christian families know all the right answers.
Right.
They place a high value on good behavior in our churches and our Christian families.
Yeah.
But what they really don't place a high value in is helping people and children in the family system really feel and process their emotions with each other.
Yeah.
If we can do that, we can prevent a lot of these sexual disorders that we see in our culture today.
Mm-hmm. I agree, but we still have to explain the people who claim to be attracted to the same sex who did have a decent relationship with their father or other males. And that would go back to what I said earlier about the precognitive sexual activity that crossed some wires up. So there's many different tentacles to this thing. I understand that. But when our kids ask if homosexuality is natural, what should we tell them?
Well, I always come back to this argument, right, that no one is born gay and no one is born straight. We're either born male and female, and we're created heterosexually in our biology, okay? You know, we understand that biologically men and women go together.
Mm-hmm.
So is homosexuality natural? Of course it's not. And we're created heterosexually. But the process of forming sexual feelings is not something that just, you know, derives from birth. It's something that has to be developed in the course of the attachment and the bonding process. So if boys are too close to their mothers and they don't sufficiently attach to the same sex and they don't receive those emotional needs growing up, they're going to sexualize those needs whenever they get to puberty.
Mm-hmm.
That is a reality for almost all of our clients. And you're right. There is plenty of cases where the sexual desires are forming, and then sexual abuse sort of makes someone get off the railroad track and into a different direction.
Yeah, it throws fuel on a fire that was already, you know, there.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so in that case, what we primarily do is we have great therapeutic technology and techniques to help heal that trauma. And when we heal the trauma and we help that person understand and come to terms, and by the way, that was a huge part of my own healing because I was sexually abused.
Mm-hmm.
When that trauma is healed, the sexual feelings often dissipate automatically.
That's neat.
Chris, I'm curious about this. I think you alluded to this a few moments ago about the timing of when one starts, discovering, discussing one's sexual needs and desires. The timing is very important, and you also mentioned sexual abuse. That so often happens to children who are very young. Can you touch on the issue of the timing of the sexual revelation, if you will?
Well, typically, children start to feel sexual attractions around the age of puberty when all those changes are happening. And, you know, in normal adolescent development, you know, 98% of the population, those needs will be they'll be heterosexual. And so what's important as Christians that we understand, though, is that this issue is not simply a spiritual issue. It definitely has spirituality in it. But when we look at psychologically what's happening with sexual feelings around puberty is, it's really a desire to attach and bond. So in the case of a heterosexual boy, he's sexually attracted to a girl, but on the unconscious level, it's not really sex. The boy is saying, hey, I know I bonded. It's that Hebrew word, yada, which means to bond, to know. Okay, that's the Hebrew word. Okay, so the boy is saying, I've yadad with boys. I know boys. Now, unconsciously, I want to know girls.
Yeah.
And so consciously, we have these sexual desires and feelings. And by the way, I always joke with my clients, there's no reason why boys or guys would really want to spend the rest of their life with a woman unless for that sexual drive. We have nothing in common.
That's true.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know,
but that word know is where Adam knew Eve. Am I right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So God has this great way of getting us together with the opposite sex by saying, hey, you're sexually attracted to her.
Yeah.
Other than that, we have no interest in being with her. Okay.
Yeah, good point.
So we have that sexual drive in order to bond and to know the opposite sex. And that's God's way of making it happen. Now, with the case of same-sex attraction, the sexual desire for the same sex is actually a blessing. And I know you're going to say I'm crazy, but I say this to families. This is a blessing that you have the sexual desire for the same sex. And the reason why is there are unmet emotional and bonding needs in your past, in your childhood. And if it wasn't for this desire to be with this other person sexually, you would not go back and try to get these needs met. This is your signal. It's your message that something has not happened yet. So we turn the table on this, take all the shame away from feeling same-sex attracted, and turn the tables on it and say, you need the same-sex attraction to help you form these needs that were never formed. Let's figure out how to get those needs met. And the client completely turns around and they say, wow, I never thought about it that way. You've taken all the shame away from it.
Yeah. There's just been too many people who define male bonding with the devil's dictionary, right?
Correct. Okay. Correct. Wow. So we as Christians need to redefine what same-sex attraction is. And what it really is it's a message from our soul telling us that something has been missing in our childhood and that we need to fill that with healthy love from the same sex, bonding and attachment. Mm.
Good stuff.
You have a great grasp on this subject and say it well. I can tell this is not the first time you've had this conversation.
Yeah, so you're right.
Our guest today is Christopher Doyle, a psychotherapist, educator, author, and the director of the International Healing Foundation, a nonprofit organization that has helped thousands of individuals and their families struggling with sexual orientation. You can learn more about Chris at the IHF website, comingoutloved.com. We'll be back with more Licensed to Parent and our guest, Christopher Doyle, right after this.
Everywhere we go, we're surrounded by screens. Have we entered into a techno-utopia?
Or a virtual prison? Prison.
Is our social experience richer and deeper? Or more shallow
and artificial?
Discover insightful answers to these questions in the documentary DVD, Captivated, Finding Freedom in a Media Captive Culture. You'll learn from media experts, church leaders, and inspiring individuals and families from across the country, including Trace Embry and students from Shepherd's Hill Academy. Most importantly, you'll discover how God's Word addresses the unique media challenges we face today. Captivated, Finding Freedom in a Media Captive Culture. Available in the store at licensedtoparent.org. Proceeds benefit the Shepherd's Hill Academy Scholarship Fund.
Teen rebellion, depression, addiction, rage, cutting, and suicide are destroying our families today. But there is a way out. Shepherd's Hill Academy offers a 12-month, Christ-centered, nonprofit residential program where kids are being transformed with a biblical worldview and often medication-free. Christian apologist Ravi Zacharias is just one of many Christian leaders who understands what's happening at Shepherd's Hill Academy.
It really is such an honor to come alongside Shepherd's Hill Ministries and Licensed to Parent to rescue those who have been seduced along the way. I cannot gainsay how important this is, and to get behind a ministry like this, one will find the rewards to be extremely powerful in changing society.
Get the help you need at Shepherd's Hill Academy. Go to helpmytroubledteen.org. helpmytroubledteen.org.
Welcome back to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long residential program dealing with teens in crisis. You'll find us online at licensedtoparent.org. And our guest today, as we mentioned earlier, is Christopher Doyle. And Chris has been involved in ministry to people dealing with sexual orientation issues for years. Chris, at the beginning of the program, we mentioned briefly the ABC Family Channel program that featured the 13-year-old boys engaged in a homosexual passionate kiss. Would there be a difference? Would it be okay if this had been a heterosexual kiss, or is it wrong either way? What do you think?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. What it does is it speaks to the early sexualization of youth in our culture. And instead of focusing on 13-year-olds developing sexual and romantic relationships, we really need to be teaching them how to form healthy relationships that don't involve sex, because we know that if young people the sooner they begin dating, the sooner they begin having sex. And I actually talk about this in my book, Benefits of Delaying Sexual Debut, that when young people begin that dating process, within a year to 2 years, they're going to have sex. And you know, these two kids are not just actors, they're somebody's sons. They're somebody's children. And so for parents to put their children in that position, to me, is child abuse.
I agree. And listen, you can't pretend to do this. They did it. And there's chemical reactions that go on in the system that are fired up, and I'm appalled, and I hope our listeners will contact ABC and all their sponsors and hold those people accountable. I feel they're contributing to the delinquency of not just those kids, but our entire nation as a whole. So I'll leave that be. I've said my piece. Chris, how should parents respond to their 13-year-olds? When they claim to have a same-sex attraction, to come to mom or dad and say, listen, I think I'm gay.
Well, I wrote an article about this very issue in the Christian Post a few months ago, and our book at International Healing Foundation, Gay Children, Straight Parents, A Plan for Family Healing, addresses this very issue. And this is going to sound a little bit weird, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. Typically, the first reaction of Christian parents when their son or daughter comes out as gay or lesbian is dead wrong. And the reason why is parents, the immediate reaction they get is fear. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't want my son or daughter to be gay. I don't, you know, it's not right. It's biblically incorrect. It's not something that I want for the future, et cetera. And that reaction typically is more about the parent than it is about the child.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so what I really help the parents focus on is, let's first of all, get in your son or daughter's shoes. Do you think that he or she chose to be this way or chose to feel this? Probably not, okay? Most families now know that we don't simply choose to feel same-sex attractions, okay? So now we are now taking this away from your issue and we put it on your son or daughter's issue. He or she has been indoctrinated by this culture.
Right.
She's been struggling with these feelings for years now. And the underlying issues are something that's really hurt him or her. They haven't gotten all their core needs met. So we need to understand that this issue is an emotional issue. It's not simply a sexual issue. So after we get past that initial stage of fear, the parents then can come to a new place and say, okay, what do we need to do to help our son and daughter not be straight, okay? Because sexual identity and sexuality is forming at this age. It doesn't mean just because you feel same-sex attractions that ultimately you will identify as gay as an adult. In fact, there's a lot of research out there that says that there's 10% of children or around 10% of children that actually at one point experience same-sex attractions but go on to later identify as heterosexual in adulthood. So the key here is early intervention and not focusing on the symptom, okay? The symptom is sexual feelings. The actual underlying that is a need for attachment and bonding. So I help families get rid of that fear and get focused on the child and what the child needs. And so the best way that we do this is by doing family healing sessions where we get families in one room for an extended period of time and we start unpacking what the underlying issues in the family are. What are we not dealing with? What are we not talking about? What's not going on here that's contributing to perhaps not only this child's same-sex attraction, but you probably have other children who have other issues mm-hmm. that are just different based on their own unique characteristics. Right. So if we can remember and really keep this in perspective, that the same-sex attraction is a signal, it's a message, okay, leading the family back to family healing, we can change the whole perspective on this issue. And when families do that, and when I sit with families and we do this work, their whole perspective changes, and it becomes not just about that child, but about the whole family, and that's where we need to go. Yeah.
And I totally agree with you. I do want to make the point, though, that there are some kids who do choose to cultivate those fleeting thoughts of homosexual attractions because they might think it's cool or it's going to get them noticed in school. We do see that. But I want to know this. If I have a 13-year-old child who claims to be homosexual, why should I be considered a bad parent for trying to steer my child away from that lifestyle?
Well, I would never say that you're a bad parent. We would never, ever say, you know, and of course we don't say this, but there are people that do say this, that say that, well, you should just simply accept it and, you know, say that they're born this way. It's not about that at all. What we have to understand is that this is not something that's inborn, and there are solutions. And our website at comingoutlove.com, we have solutions for parents and families who are struggling with this issue. Typically, what we see is that there are unresolved issues within the parents that need to be worked out. And they're a part of the solution. So we can't just focus on the child in this process. We have to see, you know, start to begin to see the forest for the trees here and see this isn't about our child. This is about our family. Okay. And even if it comes in the case of sexual abuse, you know, where the parents were, you know, bonded and attached to the child, there's still a lot the parents can do that they might not be doing to help their child heal and understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Well, Chris, we're running out of time, but I have to ask you this. Do you think we're going to see homophobia in the DSM, Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, which is really the Bible for the mental health industry?
Well, it wouldn't surprise me, to tell you the truth. You know, all the secular forces are moving away from anything that any opinion that for someone to agree with. Someone to disagree with homosexuality or have a different understanding of it. So, you know, the persecution is throughout our professional associations. In fact, you know, we've had to form our own professional associations of psychotherapists and mental health practitioners because the bias is so thick in organizations, you know, like the APA and the American Counseling Association. But there are a number of organizations like the American Association of Christian Counselors and others that still support the work that we do and they stand behind us. But we know we have to really get the message out that people aren't simply born gay and that there are solutions if you don't want to live that life. And of course, we're always wrapping that in love for everyone. That just because someone is living a gay or lesbian identity or life, that doesn't mean that we don't love them and we don't welcome them in our community. But we have the knowledge and the truth that they're not hearing. And if we love them the right way, God is going to get a hold of their heart and reveal to them the truth.
Yeah, totally agree.
That's terrific. Chris, I hate to say it, but our time came and went, and we could do another program with you. We just can't do it today. So we'd love to have you back on the program in the future, if you'd be willing.
Well, I'd love that. And for everyone listening out, please get a copy of the book, Gay Children, Straight Parents, A Plan for Family Healing. And also, my new book, Benefits of Delaying Sexual Debut, is available on Amazon.com.
Awesome.
Good stuff.
Our guest today is Christopher Doyle, a psychotherapist, educator, and author, as you just heard, and also the director of the International Healing Foundation. That's a nonprofit organization that's been in business since 1990, helping thousands of individuals and their families struggling with sexual orientation. You can find out more about Chris Doyle on the IHF website at comingoutloved.com. Comingoutloved.com. And you can learn more about Licensed to Parent and our outreach to troubled teens and their families at licensedtoparent.org. As we've said in the past, running a full-time residential program for teens and producing a national radio broadcast can be costly. And in order to help families in all economic strata, we need your help. Your one-time or your monthly tax-deductible contribution to Licensed to Parent will help fund the Shepherd's Hill Scholarship Fund, which enables more families to benefit from our outreach. You can learn more and give today when you visit licensedtoparent.org. Along with Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rosel, inviting you to join us once again next time to renew your License to Parent.
And remember, folks, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. See you next time.